Hallelujah, yes. Woo. Soon we'll see the lights of heaven.
Hallelujah.
And a new day will begin.
Yes, amen.
Thank Hear our Father say, welcome. Amen. Hey, this race is not in vain tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad that God has purpose for your soul and for us today. Amen. We're not in this just to be in this. We're in this because he put us here. Amen. All what he's done. Amen. I thank God for what I feel here tonight. Amen. I feel the joy and the help of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you get your mind off all the stress and the problems and all the trials around you and you just feel after God, you'll find that there is joy and peace in his presence and his spirit tonight for your soul. There is what you need tonight in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Now, the enemy wants to bring everything to your mind and make you feel so even left out, so miserable. Amen. He'll get you to look at your bills. He'll get you looking at your problems. And all those problems were surmounted against you. But I'm thankful tonight for the power of a God that still answers, who's still on time. Amen. Who's still the giver of all things. Praise God. It feels good to feel Jesus tonight. Amen. And we do welcome Brother James and Sister Ashley. Amen. With us tonight. What an honor to have you home in Nacogdoches. Amen. And we're so thankful. Y'all had an anniversary just recently, right? In April. Amen. What an honor there. And we're so glad to have, amen, a one-week-old married couple with us. Amen. Praise God. Welcome home, Brother Neil and Sister Lauren. We're so thankful. Amen. They had a beautiful wedding. And I'm telling you, amen, we're so excited for them. And I know they're excited. God has great things for them. Amen. Tamika, good to see you tonight. Amen. Your son with us, my. We're so blessed you're here tonight. He's growing up fast, Mom. Amen. And saints of God, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. I'd rather be here than the finest dinery in the whole state of Texas.
Amen.
I'd rather be here than the best cruise ship. Because even the best, Titanic, they said it was the best. But it's somewhere underneath. Amen. But I'm glad to be on the winning side. How about you?
Amen.
Praise God. And I sure appreciate you tonight being in the house of the Lord. I want to go to the word of the Lord in Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation chapter 22. And the Lord has given me directions today. And I want to follow what God has given. I never want to be just a preacher. I want to be a pastor. Amen. And pastors have to have a lot of tolerance. You have to have a lot of care. Amen. God didn't call me to be a butcher, but God's called me to be a shepherd. And there are some people just don't understand that. They want you to butcher everything. Amen. Get them, pastor. Sick them, pastor. No, no, no. I want to be a shepherd because souls are important to Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we have to use wisdom. Amen. In the hour that we're in, praise God. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The scripture says in 22:14 of Revelation, 22:14 of Revelation, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The blessed people are those that does the commandments of the Lord. And they have rights to the tree of life. And they're going to be the ones that enter through the gates of the city. Turn with me to Romans, the 6th chapter and verse 16. Romans 6:16. Amen. Another beautiful passage of scripture. The word of the Lord says here, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. I want you to notice that you would never get out of the capacity of being a servant to something. You would never. Whether you serve God or not, you're going to serve something. I want you to catch it again. Young man in this room, you're going to serve something. Young lady, you're going to serve something. Amen. Know ye not, to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Your choice. But I'm thankful tonight, amen, that I could be a child of God and yield myself. But I say, yield yourself. You see, that's the hard part when you got to yield yourself to serve. You don't have to yield yourself to the enemy. He just makes you part of him. He just imposes his way. And at first you feel good about it. You see, the pleasures of sin are still for just a what? Mm-hmm. But I'm thankful that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has is forever. Amen. This thing is forever, saint. Amen. So be encouraged tonight that as you serve God, this matters because this is forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of serving you. Thank you for the blessings of following you and knowing you tonight. We love you and we worship you, God, for what you're going to do tonight in this service. Help me, Lord, to give what you've given to me. I give you praise and I give you honor in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. We've read tonight that the blessed people are those that do his commandments. And they have right to the tree of life. And they have right to enter into the gates of that great city. And we found out also that you're going to serve something. It's to whom you yield yourself to. I'd rather yield to God, amen, and have God and the blessings of God in serving him than to have the consequences of sin and the operation of the enemy in my life. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us, and if I can introduce it this manner, I want to just do it, amen, by saying, if we brought the biggest issue in the Bible to light tonight, what would it be? The biggest issue in the Bible, what would that issue be? There's a lot of people, they begin to say it's this and this and this. And the problems of evil and suffering is a significant thing because it challenges us as believers. And it causes us to understand the nature of God. And when we have a struggle, we understand that we need God, or it should. Amen. And it also begins to tell us that we have a responsibility as a human. God did not make us a robot, but God made us as a free will moral agent with a choice. Amen. We don't have to go to hell when we have that great choice. Amen. Are you thankful God's giving you a choice tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. But the devil would like to taint that choice. The devil would like to deceive you and make you feel like you have no option. But I'm glad today that I do have an option. Amen. I know the meaning of the Almighty God, the meaning of life is going to be through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Satan is a liar. Amen. Hallelujah. And profoundly in the Word of God, we find that, amen, God has put us in a place that we need his pastoral care. More than just a man pastoring us, I need the Spirit of God. And we know that God has put over us, amen, a shepherd, a man, amen, to help us and to pastor us. And God not only does that to just tell us no, amen, a pastor is there not just to tell you no, but there to feed your soul, to comfort your soul, to guide your soul, to help your soul, and to remind you that you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, we ought to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which belongs to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But today, if you explore, amen, that most people, you'll find that there's an attempt to grapple and have an understanding about why. Why do I have to live for God? Why do I do this? Why is this important? I don't care where you're at in life. One day you're going to come to the place, and some of you have already been there, to where you come to the Y in your road. And that Y in your road is not the last letter of the alphabet, next to the last letter of the alphabet, but it's a W-H-Y in your life. Why do I have to do this? Why do I need to do this? Why is this important? And there's even times that in simple things, we begin to wonder and we begin to say within ourselves, why? I don't feel like that's a needful thing. And we begin to question that why in our life. How many's ever hit that why in your road before? That you started questioning why you live the way you live. Why is it such an important thing, Pastor, that we always say this and we have to do this? And why is it? I want to tell you, I don't have to, I get to for Jesus. But the enemy begins to impose on you that big why. And it comes down to either the will of God or the will of man. And there's some things that the enemy begins to put in your mind and make you feel like, why do I do that? Oh, I don't feel like it's really a necessary thing. I don't feel like this is something that really matters. But folks, I'm thankful today, amen, for the why. I'm thankful there's a reason. Amen. Brother Larry Booker wrote a book, The Purpose a Lion Makes. And I'm thankful that when God helps us to draw lines and build fences and walls and put measures there, there is a purpose. Brother Booker made a profound statement. Never tear down a fence till you know what it was built for. There were some purposes made years ago. You say, well, I'm afraid that we're trapped in traditional Pentecost. Because, Pastor, you know, we impose this and we impose that. And, you know, we begin to say you got to do this in order to be on the platform or to be a leader of our church or be part of our church. Folks, there's a reason why. And many times that reason is challenged and is stimulated inside of a mind. Why? I want to have something inside of me, amen, that handles the why and has that spiritual connotation and connection to say, God, there's got to be a purpose. You just don't throw away the life preserver or the anchor in your life and think, oh, well, I don't need these things. I'm thankful for the things of God. They do matter for us. Amen. So we ask the question, what is the biggest issue of the Bible? And I want to answer that. The biggest issue in the Bible and in life is, anybody know? Obedience. I want to talk to us tonight, the biggest issue in the Bible, obedience. Compliancy to what God begins to set forth as what we call right is the biggest issue you'll find. It's one of the most crucial issues in the Bible. Obedience is a reoccurring theme from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And why talk about these issues? A lot of times we don't want to talk about them. But friend, it allows us to explore the profound significance of obedience to the Word of God, because to whom you yield yourself to obey, you become its servant. And if we don't address and point out the pitfalls and the patterns as humans, we likely will succumb to the same problems of humanity. I want to tell you, friend, I want to be an overcomer. How about you? I want to be one that learns how, amen, not to fall for the same old trick of the enemy. Amen. I like to get the problem in the light. I like to understand, why do I keep bumping my head on the same thing? I like to understand, hey, why am I falling to the same situation? Why am I listening to the same voice? Why is that thing influencing me? I want to tell you, it's an issue nobody wants to talk about, but obedience. Obedience is important to God. You know, obedience will never make it to anyone's top 10 list of favorite subjects. But oh, how important it is to the Almighty God. Amen. The message of the enemy, the adversary of your soul, the devil has always made living for God seem to be too hard and impossible. He makes living for God to be something that it's just senseless. And something that begins to work against you. His opposing tendency has always to put God in the negative as a tyrant who imposes on one's liberty. And it's crazy because, first, he'll propose to the mind that you're being deprived from your own choices. And he imposes on you. And he begins to come against you. And but you don't have that free choice anymore. I want to tell you, the enemy does his job well. And if he can get you to the place to make you feel that you are a slave to God, I want to tell you, he's winning something in your life. But somebody needs to realize, amen, hey, God put us in this race. We are privileged to live for God today. Amen. God didn't impose his way and his will, but God put us in here because of God's grace and mercy. You don't deserve to be in the house of God. Neither do I. The enemy also would like to make you feel that God's manipulating you. Next, the enemy would like to say that God's invalidating you, discrediting you. We'll just talk to you about Satan just a little bit. He wants you to doubt the captain of your soul. And if he could get and taint and steal your confidence in God, he's got you. He uses to make you think that God is hiding the big picture away from you. Amen. For all God's selfish reasons. I want to tell you, friend, Jesus Christ went to the cross not for himself, but he went to the cross for you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. And the enemy of your soul would like to begin to twist and begin to turn your mind away from the purpose of God. First of all, I want to remind you, this is eternal. Amen. This is eternal, the word of God. The plan of God is eternal. The way that God has made for you will help you when you follow the plan of the eternal God in your life. Amen. A big word here tonight, invalidator. The enemy wants to say God is invalidating you. God is stealing from you that credit for you to make your own choices. I want to tell you, God's not a Hitler. God's not a tyrant. You know, if you met Hitler, let me just use this way. If you met Hitler, you would thought he would be a charming person, they tell me. You would never guess what devastation he was capable of. And I read some excerpts from a book called The Life and Death of Adolf Hitler by Robert Payne. And in these little points that was made, they tell me that Hitler was not a man that you would think. But he was so charming and so seducing that he had such a front. Let me use the word. He was very charismatic. He had a lot of persona, whatever you want to say, charm to him. But yet this man had spilled so much blood. This man had done so much devastation. He was determined to stamp out and destroy anything in the world that did not serve his purposes. That's not the God I serve. My God is not a tyrant and an invalidator. I know another one that's just like Hitler. If you don't bow to his ways, amen, he has a way of manipulating. He has a way of lying. He has charm. He is a deceiver. But my God is faithful and my God is true. Are you thankful for that? Amen. They tell me that Hitler, he spilled a lot of blood, but he never dared to look at the dead or the dying. He never visited a military hospital for the wounded, those that were dying because of a war. He never cared about that. He didn't want to look at that. He was a coward, they say, when it came to things. It made him sick if he seen blood. But he drove millions of people insane, and millions died in his concentration camps, but he never seen it. He ordered it, but never had the dare to go look at them. He had no concept of the suffering he brought to the world. They tell me when he traveled through towns that were devastated by bombs and the wreck of war, that he had shades on his window. As he was chauffeured through there, that he would pull the shades up because he didn't want the sight of all the devastation to weaken his resolution. You know that Hitler was very much narcissistic and proud of himself, that he carried around a portrait of himself with his eyes raised to heaven in an angelic manner. He also admired a picture of himself in shining armor. He thought himself to be something. His voice was seductive. His logic and premises seemed to be accepted. But yet as an invalidator, amen, he had the power to crush. Amen, the power to destroy. And easily crushed others and seized power and put his foot and his heel over the heads of many different people. That sounds just like my Satan. That Satan that we serve, that Satan that we counter against, that Satan that is alive. I hope we are not serving him. But friend, the enemy is obsessive. Obsessive to control your mind and to control the way that you think. He has the appearance of being friendly and charming. Think about it. And he gives you just enough power to control you and to fool you. It's kind of like this. You give a man just enough rope, he'll hang himself. And that's just what the enemy does. Satan is all of what a manipulator is. The Bible says in Isaiah the 14th chapter, verses 12 and 15, it describes the fall of Lucifer due to pride. In Genesis the 3rd chapter, it talks about Satan's deceptive play in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, we find that were there. And as Eve, he came to Eve, the weaker vessel. He used deceptive manners to target her, to target her faith, and cause her to doubt the Almighty God. Let me talk to you today that the enemy knows the Word of God well. And he knows how to twist the Word of God to his benefit. And the very first thing he began to use is the word of God against Eve. And he twisted it. You can't eat of all these things. He made her feel deprived. He made her feel that God was holding something back from her. Oh, you don't have to obey the word of God. You know, look. You know, God is not being truthful with you. Look, look. God is holding that back from you. Look what you can do if you didn't do all that. That's just what the enemy imposes today in the heart and the mindset. I watch young people that the enemy begins to come in their mind and they think they're indispensable. They think that they, but friend, amen, what a sad day when you have to go to the casket and look inside of a young person that, oh, after warning, after warning, after warning, they were foolish to feel that they were indispensable, that they didn't have to listen to authority, even they didn't have to obey, amen. And even my short little life, even that I'm living right now, of 35 years in the ministry, a plus, amen, there's been occasions, amen, where people thought they had it together. Amen. And people that thought and begin to challenge the things of God. But then I watch, amen, the consequences of disobedience take them further than they could ever, amen, ever feel that they could go. Amen. Sin is something that the enemy loves to impose on a life. And he does it with deception. But there's some scriptures that the word of the Lord says in Deuteronomy 11. It says we need to love the Lord our God with all our heart and keep his commandments. I want to tell somebody in this place today, it pays to live for God. It pays to fall in love with God. Amen. And don't let something get in between your love for the things of God or God himself. If the enemy could twist your thinking just a little bit and make you feel it's okay to disobey, he's got his foot in the door of your life. And if he can get his foot in the door of your life, he'll get it in and bread and be all there inside of your heart and to corrupt and taint your mind. Love the Lord with everything inside of you. I love it this way. If you don't sell out, you could be bought out. Isn't it crazy today that the enemy makes you feel like living for God is hard? It is hard when you live for God easy. But it's easy when you live for God hard. Amen. First Samuel, the 15th chapter, gives an illustration of Samuel. He tells King Saul to go and destroy all the Amalekites. Don't bring anything back from the Amalekites. Utterly destroy everything. But King Saul, he thought he was exempt from obedience. And he comes back with the best of the Amalekites. The best of the sheep, the best of the lamb, the best of the cattle. And not only that, but he brought the king with him. He wanted trophies of his victory. Well, the Lord said very clearly, don't bring back anything. And when he came back with all these trophies, the man of God said, why is it I'm hearing the lowing of cattle and the blading of sheep? And King Saul began to defend himself and justify his actions. He said, I brought that back the very best for a sacrifice. And these are the words of the prophet, the man of God. It's much better to obey than to what? Sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let me talk to somebody's heart tonight in this place. Amen. You will never find a substitute for obedience. Amen. I don't care how much you search for it. To obey is the better than sacrifice. Hear me, son of God. Hear me, young man. Hear me, young lady. Tonight, God still requires obedience. Amen. The biggest issue in the Bible is obedience. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Philippians 2, verse 8. The scripture says, and being found in the appearance of man, Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Jesus Christ made an example for us. In James 1, 22, it says, be ye a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Look at your neighbor, said, be a doer of the word. You better get in your crawl tonight. Amen. To do the word of God. Just don't be a hearer. It's a shame to see people that could quote the word of God. They can tell you where it's at, but they don't apply it in their heart. God is still interested in us obeying. I read something a little bit funny. Let me share it with you. Imagine last Sunday morning, the citizens of Duckville waddled their way into First Duck Church. They made their way inside, quacking politely one to another. The ducks settled in their favorite pews and quacked their way through the hymns and all the different things. Then the duck minister took his place in the pulpit and, taking his text from the duck Bible, the good Reverend Dr. Duck began, ducks, God has given you wings, you can fly. And all the ducks quacked, amen. Ducks, because you have wings, you can fly like eagles. And all the ducks quacked, preach on, quack, quack, amen. And because the ducks has given, because God has given you wings, no fence can confine you. And all the ducks quacked out loud, praise God, quack, quack, amen. Ducks, the duck minister concluded, God has given you wings. It's time for you to fly. When the service was over, guess what happened? They waddled out of the church building, and they passed Pastor Duck, and they quacked to him, good sermon, Pastor. Inspiring, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Just what I needed, Pastor. They all waddled home. No one changed. No one did anything different. The sky was clear. The sky was blue. But no one looked up, and no one took flight in the air. I want to tell you, hearing is good. But we got to be a doer of the word of God. Amen. I'm afraid that many times we're like these bunch of ducks. Amen. We never learn to put our wings into action and obey the things of God. Hear me. Amen. God is looking for not just good hearers. God's not looking for those that just acquainted with him, but somebody that would get heart to heart with the Almighty God and be a doer of the word and activate that in your heart. Amen. It's not enough to hear the good news of Christ. We must act upon it and let the truth change our hearts and minds. We got to understand, even in the Bible, that there was no tension between grace and obedience. Many people talk about the grace of God, the grace of God. Oh, you know, I'm okay because of the grace of God. But you know that grace also has obedience attached to it. Grace would not do you a bit of good until you obey God and yield to God. In fact, the grace of God will produce obedience. Titus 2 and 11, I use the scripture all the time. For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men that bringeth salvation, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. It ought to produce in us an obedience. I don't know of any other passage that deals with obedience more clearly than James chapter 1, verse 22. It's amazing. There's a supremacy of obedience in the Word of God. God looks at it as being supreme. It's on his top list, friend. Even though it's something nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to think about, it's boring, even for a pastor to get up and talk to a congregation about obedience, but it's supreme to God. Obedience is the supreme importance for life, Deuteronomy says. Chapter 4. It's 1 Samuel 15, it's a supreme requirement of God. It's better than sacrifice. We read it a while ago. Matthew 5:19, obedience is a supreme value in the sight of God. Nothing surpasses it. Number 4, obedience is a supreme proof of friendship with Christ. You can't be Christ if you don't be his child if you're not in obedience with him. Obedience is the supreme requirement of loyalty. Acts 4:19. The next one, obedience is the supreme response of discipleship. You'll never become his disciple until you learn to obey. Next thing, obedience supremely illustrates in Christ your love for him. Obedience is also the supreme feature of Abraham. Abraham obeyed God and it was counted for him righteousness. Obedience is supreme evidence of true religion. And next, obedience is the supreme secret of Christian assurance. I want to just tell us tonight, there's no way around it. Amen. I got to obey God. You're going to come to that why in your life. You're going to come to that place where the enemy begins to say, oh, this is where, you don't have to do all that. He's going to come to you and begin to talk you and talk to your mind and talk to your spirit and wants to throw the bucket of doubt inside of your relationship with God. But hear me, saint of God, realize how important obedience is. Realize the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, all through obedience to Jesus. You know, a new enlistee in the army said to an old soldier, I want to be an exemplary soldier, and I will value highly any advice you may give me. The old soldier replied, young man, my advice is brief. Always obey orders. The young man said, but suppose orders conflict. Whose orders should I obey? That will not occur, young man, said the older man. But suppose you get conflicting orders. Assert the one highest in authority and obey him. I want to tell somebody today, amen, God ought to be the supreme authority in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hear me. God ought to be the supreme voice in your life. His word ought to be the supreme source in your life. It's better to obey God than be at loss in your life because you learn not to yield and to obey the things of God. It's important to hear and obey. Robert Cupper Smith was 81 years old. He was flying with his friend, an experienced pilot. And the pilot was 52 years old, Wesley Sickle. They were flying from Indianapolis to Muncie, Indiana. And during the flight, the 52-year-old pilot slumped over and died with a heart attack at the controls. The Cessna 172 single-engine plane began to nosedive. And Cupper Smith grabbed the controls. He got on the radio and pled for help. Just so happened nearby were two pilots and two different aircrafts who heard the call. Now, the nearest airport was Mount Comfort. Think about that. And the two pilots begin to give Coppersmith, this 81-year-old man, a steady stream of instructions of climbing, steering, and the scary part of it, landing. The two experienced pilots circle the runway three times before this somewhat frantic and totally inexperienced pilot was ready to attempt the landing. Emergency vehicles were called out, and they were ready for what seemed like an approaching disaster. Witnesses said the plane's nose nudged the center line and bounced a few times before the tail hit the ground. But the Cessna ended up in a patch of soggy grass right next to the runway. And amazing, uninjured, Coppersmith came out of that plane. You know the reason why? The pilot listened and followed these instructions. You know why? Because his life depended on it. Imagine what would take place if the life of a believer, if we can learn to listen and obey the word of God with the same earnesty. Amen. Hey, our soul depends on it. Our eternity depends on it. Amen. One of the hardest things is whenever somebody goes through a sense of rebellion in their life, they start rebelling against the things of God. Amen. Oh, they begin to think that they're more superior. They feel like they have more power. They feel that they're exempt. They don't have to obey the word of God. They don't have to obey the pastor in their life. Why in the world God would give you a pastor? You know, the Bible says your pastor is the gift to you. I've given you pastors after my soul. You know what today? I mean, sometimes the role of a pastor is rewarding, but you've got to go through a lot of heartaches and things will come to you because of the rebellion of people. And it's the hardest thing as a pastor to face when somebody blatantly disobeys. And they think they're just violating something of the church ordinances. But they come against the things of God. And well, we don't want to talk about this today. That's not a popular subject. But I want to talk to us tonight. Amen. There's no substitute for obedience. In fact, the Bible says rebellion is as what? The sin? Say it with me. The sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is something that is deceptive. Witchcraft makes you feel like you have power. Let me use one of these young men. Brother Brent, would you come up here real quick? I'm going to show you what witchcraft does. Witchcraft has a sense of empowering an individual. It makes you feel strong. It makes you feel like you're in control. But it is like if all of a sudden he had strings attached to his hands and his feet. You ever seen the puppets? Witchcraft begins to make you feel like I'm in control, but you don't feel those strings yet. And it starts working. And you feel like, I'm in control. Look at all the power I've got. But after a while, you don't realize that there's something attached to it. The Bible says rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. At first, you can't feel the attachments. But the enemy wants to get a hold of you and make you a puppet and make you feel like a puppy on a string. But I want to tell you, I have a God even that will stand by those that will obey him and keep his commandments. Blessed are they that keep his commandments. The highest and the most ultimate authority for a Christian is God. And the greatest in the kingdom of God is always measured by obedience. And he will always answer, enter thou in my good and my what? Faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The receiving of the word of God. There's two different components. First of all, God has to have your attention of your mind. And the next thing he has to have is the intention of your will. You need to write that down, somebody. There's two things in receiving the word of God. He has to have the attention of your mind and the intention of your will. Trust that God has your best interests in mind always. Amen. It's something that is needed. Amen. You got to be willing to do what he asks you, even when you don't understand it. Even when people around you are saying, Why, Job? Why don't you just curse God and die, Job? Have you come to the why in your life before? And there may be other people that have challenged you and you did not have the answer to that why. And they give you a way out. Why don't you just curse God and die? I want to tell you, obedience always is sealed when your heart says yes to God. And when you say yes to God, you're saying no to other things. Amen. I thank for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I thank for the grace and the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And I read a story today. Brother Kenneth Carpenter, pastors in Nashville, Tennessee. Brother Carpenter is the superintendent for the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ there. Amen. I met Brother Carpenter one time in my life years ago. And great man, great church. Brother Carpenter put this online not too long ago. And it was given to me. His brother was in church, faithful to God for a season. But somehow a spirit of rebellion entered his heart. He didn't want anybody to tell him what to do, or he didn't want nobody to tell him what he could not wear, where he could go or could not go, whether he could not date a certain person or not. He felt he had the right to do what he wanted to do. He started dating a girl. His pastor told him very plainly, no. He also started going to parties his pastor said to avoid. Soon his new girlfriend introduced him to some drugs. At first it was just marijuana. And after a little bit, that drug became the beginning of other things. He became hooked. His addiction led him and a friend to rob a store where they committed murder. He was caught, of course, and sentenced to life in prison. And he asked his brother, Brother Kenneth Carpenter, to tell his story wherever he goes, to warn young people that it didn't start with drugs, it didn't start with fornication, it started with disobedience to his pastor. Where he said, no one is going to tell me what I can do or what I don't, or what I can't do. It started when his pastor told him not to date someone out of the church. Now, he's told every day what he is to wear. Now, he's told where he can and where he cannot go. Now, he's told what time to go to bed and what time to get up, what to eat, when to eat. And his whole life is organized by other people. And he told Brother Kenneth Carpenter, he said, I want you to tell everybody you talk to. And I come tonight to tell you. The Bible says, obey them that have rule over you. And submit yourselves, for they watch over your soul. They must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to you. I want the joy of giving an account to the sheep in this church. I don't want the Lord to say, okay, Brent, Crosswhite, and it came my time, give an account. I don't want him to say, well, that young man just didn't care. That young man did what he wanted. I can't lie before God. God, that young man, when I asked him to get a haircut, he looked at me like I was crazy. That young lady, when I said, hey, you don't need to go there. That young man's not good for you. She looked at me and she got her feelings hurt because a pastor was trying to be a pastor. That young man in the church, he got upset when the pastor began to preach to him about things that he was going to and places he was going to and things that he was participating in. That young lady, that lady in a church, she got upset when the pastor got on her kids. I got to give an account. But I want to do it with joy. I want to do it with the sense that, Lord, I got to give an account. Lord, they obeyed you. They kept the faith. They held on to the things of your word. They marched when everything was against them. They held the banner high when all the compromise was all around them. When their friends were bowing, when their friends were insulting them for their stand, when their friends were trying to influence them, they held the banner. When family came over and said, why don't y'all do this? Why? They didn't even have a reason. They kept the banner and the standard of righteousness. Oh, friend, the enemy don't want me to preach this tonight. We don't want to talk about obedience, but it's the biggest issue in the Bible that we got to address. And it starts, amen, with us in our heart. Amen, hear me. Amen, judgment begins right here at the house of God. Hear me. Judgment begins right here at the house of God. If you don't have judgment in your life, hear me. If it don't happen here, it's not going to happen there. You got to be willing and obedient. Scripture begins to teach us this. And the biggest issue ever in the Bible will be your obedience. God looks at it. God counts it as something great to him. So, tonight in this place, you're going to get to that place called the why in your life. Johnny, I've been there. And just because I was raised in church, there was things that were taught me and things I got for myself. There was things that mom and daddy never taught me that I got inside of me from God. I felt God put it in my life. Oh, I've been ridiculed by friends, sometimes by family members, because of the stand that I took. That people looked at me and laughed at me. Because of things. But I can remember stands that I took even in high school where I had to go to PE. Everybody dressed out, even people that I went to church with. I had big old baggy sweatpants on, and I've always sweated real bad. I had to bring changes of clothes and shower, towels. Amen. And wet, soppy clothes. I had to pack a trash bag for my heavy, wet clothes, amen, because of sweat. And I had people laugh and say, man, why do you wear all that hot stuff? Why do you wear that? Because I have a commitment to the Almighty God. It's here. Amen. And it's here. And when I came to the why, amen, and the opposition came and began to impose that question to me, amen, I'm so thankful that today I'm not bragging on me, but I'm bragging, amen, on the help of God in the midst of that, where I could have bowed, I could have compromised, I could have let down, where friends that even that, oh, preach this gospel. I watched them bow. Compromise and throw away convictions. People that I had to separate myself from that I loved, I could not fellowship with anymore since Crosswhite come. The why in my road. And even when you get a little bit older, you're going to have that why in your road again. When your kids become teenagers, Your teenagers begin to come against you and say, why, Daddy? You know, so-and-so's kids don't do this. They get to go everywhere else. And they always would say, everybody else is doing it. And I would have to say, but we don't wear everybody else's shoes. I got to get my house to heaven, but I got to get me to heaven too. Even a little bit later, as a pastor, even just recently, the why, I came to the why again in my road. It was so easy to say, well, you know, all these years I've taken a stand. Why don't I just let down now? Then I get to looking out, and I get to seeing through the years the people that God has pulled out of sin. People that God has helped. And there's something in me says, I will not bow. I'm going to hang on to the way God has put inside. I'm not going to tear down fences. Amen. But I'm going to stand for what God has called me to stand for. Because souls matter in my life. Stand with me in this place. Amen. I felt the Lord has spoke to us in this service tonight. If you've only known when the Lord gave me this while ago in that office. But God, you gave it to me yesterday. Yesterday I tried. I sought God for things. For this service. And it didn't come. It didn't come in the morning service. But I laid down in my recliner in this office today and took a 25, 30 minute nap. And when I awake, and I sat down in my office desk, the Lord spoke to me with this message. And the Lord said, I want you to give it tonight. Obedience is something that matters. Amen. I believe tonight that you need to come to the front, saint of God. Young man, young lady. Amen. Elderly individual, we need to come tonight. Amen. I want you to come renew some commitments to God. Come on, they matter. Hear me. Amen. This message tonight is for your soul. Amen. God would never impose on me. Amen. A message. Amen. Just to impose it, but He gave it because He cares. He loves you. He wants you to have victory in your life. He wants you to have joy. He wants your life, amen, to be pleasing to Him. Would you come to Jesus tonight? Amen. Would you bow and yield to Him tonight? Amen. Say yes to the Master. Lord, I love and I praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace and power. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you find that place? Come on, I want you to make your commitments to the Lord tonight. Come on, visit commitment again. Visit that place with God again. Renew some vows to God tonight. Renew some things in your spirit. Amen. I felt this in the Holy Ghost so strong. Prepare your heart. Seek the Lord. Amen. Check your life tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Even those in the ministry tonight. Amen. Oh, I want you to check your heart. Come on, we can get to the place that we feel even in the ministry we're exempt. Amen. But tonight the Master's calling.
Please.
Hallelujah. Come on, saints. I need some prayer warriors. I need a core of prayer warriors tonight to pray with me. If you only knew the burden of my heart tonight for this congregation, for sheep here tonight. My heart's burdened for you, for your victory. Those of you that, come on, you feel drained. You feel your life just pulled in every direction. You feel so distant from God. But won't you just yield to God tonight? Come on, yield it up to the Lord and give over to God. Come on, make up your mind, Lord, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to please You, Lord. I'm going to stand for You. It may cost you some friends. It may cost some things in your life. But can you say yes to the Almighty God? Touch Your people. Touch Your church, Jesus. Touch these sheep tonight.
But thine, dear Lord, help me.
Hallelujah.
To change.
Oh, my shepherd, help me, Lord.
Into someone
help me, Jesus.
Of Your
lead
love.
Lead this church.
Merciful and true.
God, let us have firm conviction. Put it in us, Jesus.
A blessing.
Put it in our minds and souls, Lord.
Let me be.
Make me strong for You, Lord.
Please make me.
Oh, God, Your name, Your name.
A vessel of honor used.
Hallelujah.
To praise Your holy name.
He shall love that,
Lord. Worthy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Of Your
hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Help me to change.
Hallelujah.
Into someone full.
check your motives. Check your motives. Come on, check your motives. Come on, open the hood of your heart. Check inside. God, renew me, Lord. Renew the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with your free spirit, Lord.
Place me on the potter's wheel.
Oh,
every single day.